I'm not going to be looking at the book of Daniel, but rather Daniel the man, his life story. So I'm not going to be looking at verse by verse. The verses which I will allude to will be on the screen. So if you're 12 and three quarters and you're not used to thumbing through a big fat Bible, you can follow it on the screen behind me, and hopefully it will flow better for you. Dare to be a Daniel. So, change my name. In the first part of Daniel, Daniel is asked, is told, is given a new name. And I don't think sometimes we spend enough time on this verse, because on a new year, those of you who are football fans would be looking forward to the transfer window, when you might get this new star player in your team. The new star player would come with a new £80 shirt with their name on the back. And kids everywhere, grown-ups as well, especially some blokes, would wear that name on their back, a new name. They would be associated with that name. But that's a name that they really want. It's in their heart. John can perhaps tell you afterwards. Did Josh Vila, I think, sign from Bolton, from Cardiff City? I'm not sure. If I had a name on my back, I think it would be Suarez, with all his failings. Matisse? Is Matisse here? No. He might have a new name on his back. But it's changing his name. Daniel was God is my judge. His name becomes Belshazzar. Bel, guard his life. Or the guard for the Babylonians, Marduk, guard his life. He is saying, his new boss is saying to Daniel, Babylon now owns you. Daniel, your allegiance is to Babylon. But in many of the ironies packed into this book, the irony is, it's not Marduk that's in charge, it's Yahweh, the real, the living God. It's not a small g, it's not no g, it's the great, big, wonderful God whose story is Daniel's story in this book. You see, Daniel never internalizes his identity as Belteshazzar. He is always Daniel in this book. He was Belteshazzar on his paycheck, but Daniel to his friends. I think it's been alluded to, perhaps on the church weekend and in other times, that we've talked about as a church, we've talked about fish badges, we've talked about other ways our faith becomes public and not private. This is a massive change, to change your name. Your mother's or your father's choice. When Prince George was born, how many of the baby boys in the next 6 months end up being called George? It's important, your name. In my year, I've no idea why I was called Clive, but in my year, many people might be called Jeff, or might even be called Bobby, and you can work out for yourself what year that might have been. People call their children Paul. I had to be very careful in choosing these words, these names. I don't think there's any Pauls here, I don't know. They might be called Lydia. They have powerful biblical meanings. This is my prayer for my child, my prayer for my grandchild, that they would grow up to be like this character. But you see, we're facing a world, a post-Christian world, where your first name is not necessarily your Christian name. It is just your first name. Possibly, people in years to come might even have to be called something like Cozy if you're working for a central heating company. Your name might even be changed. You see, the Christianity is being reduced in our culture. It may be coming. It is coming when our faith is being reduced to be private and not public. And this, at the start of Daniel's life, when he was perhaps 15, perhaps 17 years of age, he is able to resist and make this stand. No, even though my new boss, you're giving me this new name, this name which offends my dear faith in God, I will stand by you. Faith without works is dead, is from James, the book of James. So, number two, Daniel, throughout his many and long life in service of four kings, was counter-cultural. He served from 17 to about the age of 83, maybe 85 years of age. And he was counter-cultural throughout his entire life. You see, you and I need to walk the tightrope between assimilation and segregation. The church has at times swung between these two extremes, between being in the world and separate from the world. As we shall see, and as you can read from yourself from the book of Daniel, Daniel was neither. He was able to walk this tightrope of godliness between these two issues. In summary, you see, he was allowed to, he allowed or had to have his name changed, but he would not eat the food from idols. He would not drink the drink associated with idols. You see, his worship of Baal, of Marduk, was emphatically no. Daniel knew when to conform to culture, and Daniel knew when to transform and be like the Lord Jesus, be like God. In Deuteronomy it says that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's a very big issue at the moment, private beliefs. It was even in a film which I watched very happily with a few people, Madagascar too. And when you're all laughing, because you all probably love it. And when the plane crashes, I haven't researched the names of the characters, I forget them at the moment, but someone turns around and says, I think they might be praying to a personal God. You see, it's around us all the time. We cannot get away from it. But our faith needs to stay public. Emphatically, yes. You see, you might... Daniel understood that you might be involved in heavy metal, but know when it's his words and when it's not godly. You might wear designer brands, but still be able to give money away to the Lord's work. You might decide to give to sweatshop labour. You might embrace, as Kate's encouraged us to do, fair trade coffee and so forth to help the workers who are in poor poverty feed their families. But the resistance here from Daniel chapter 3, and really throughout the whole book of Daniel and the whole life of Daniel, is private belief is not enough. You shall confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord in 2016. It was greatly saddened to notice recently that an advert about the Lord's Prayer was taken off cinema screens as an advert. We need to stand up for Jesus in 2016. Stand up wherever you are. Stand up with the music that you like, the clothes you like. Whatever secret idols you need to give them under the Lordship of Christ, whatever you like, the gym, the car, the career. Yahweh says, and Daniel is an example of this, have no other gods before me. You see, Daniel was enabled to distinguish assimilation and segregation. And I need to pray that through for 2016. And I would encourage you to do that as well. Interestingly, Daniel prayed to Jerusalem. You see, Daniel, the book of Daniel, is not an historical document primarily. It's a theological document. He was bad at geography, or you could look at it that way. Everyone else would pray, would worship to the heathen gods then. But Daniel longed for Jerusalem. He longed for the true and living God. You see, he understood. In the verse on the screen from Daniel 2, it emphasizes that the writer is using the word Daniel. He was able to maintain his identity. And you and I need to do so in our workplace, down the allotment, at the youth club, wherever we go day to day. In other verses, from Daniel 6, Daniel 6 is the chapter about the lion's den. It talks about Daniel's habit of praying. And he set out at the start of his life and he carried it right through, just as he had done before. Our structure of our day, Daniel encourages us to bend the knee and to bring all our requests and praise to the Lord our God. The men in the story, which you know possibly quite well, found him praying, but that wasn't a surprise really, was it? They were on to him. They'd followed him. They were observing him. Daniel is able to have a small group of friends around him to pray with him. When I was preparing this, I called them his ham group. And after a while, on my redraft, I was thinking, well, this isn't the best name for his three friends, is it? Being good Jews, you wouldn't call yourselves the ham prayer cell, would you? Not at all. But his three great friends were with him, and he was able to share matters of prayer to the living God, to the big G. This is vital for me and for everyone as we go forward into the new year. We cannot walk this path alone. With the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, by his presence, but with the help of each other, friends you know who don't come to this church, we need to support each other in our lives under God. It's interesting and powerful that God honours those that honour him. An example of this is found in the text behind me from Daniel 3. That actually, after persevering after Daniel's godliness and tact, to all intents and purposes, the king of the world, the king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, gave some sort of legal protection to Daniel's faith. This was incredible. And it was repeated again in Acts, in the story of St. Paul. And it's true for you and for me. And in the lovely verses in John 17, when our Lord is in the upper room. You see, Jesus says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. All around us in 2016, there will be pressures to be squeezed into the world's mode, to spend what we don't really want to spend, to go where we really don't want to go. But the message of Romans 12 and of Daniel, the whole of Daniel, is, do you want to be a conformer or a transformer? Conformers are people that live under pressure from without. Transformers are people whose lives are controlled by a power from within. Daniel and his three friends were such. Instead of being changed, they did the changing. God used them to transform the minds of powerful rulers to bring great glory to his wonderful name in a pagan land. Point 3, your faith isn't timid, It's powerful. Whatever you may think, however small this church may be, your faith is powerful. You see, we don't need to live in each other's shadows. Sometimes, in chapter 3, Daniel isn't mentioned in chapter 3. It's his three friends. It's Shadrach who has now to take center stage. You see, leaders have to stand up for Jesus. And this book, this chapter, is all about standing up for him. There were three men in that great crowd who stood tall when everybody else bowed low. These three friends stood up when everyone bowed to this new image that the king had put up. Their faith was in the true, the living God, and the word he had spoken to his people. Knowing the history of the Jewish people, they were confident that the Lord was in control, just as JM has prayed already this morning. Daniel, you see, God in control. Daniel, God is sovereign. And they had nothing to fear. Isaiah writes, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the waters, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt. Nor shall the flame scorch you." You see, Daniel was not in the furnace. Daniel was not even the fourth friend who could join them in the furnace. The walking Christ was in this furnace. And have you noticed, or did you notice, that the Christ, the fourth man in this furnace, in chapter 3, was walking with us? He wasn't sat on a stool in the corner. He wasn't a spectator. He wasn't on the end of a phone line. He was walking with them. And Christ walks with us through the days. For some of us, in 2016, days of great tears and great mourning. For some of us, other things this year has in store. But the loving, living God walks with us. You see, your leaders, Tony, can't walk with you for every situation that you have to face this year. Even the Archbishop of York can't answer all the questions that you might be asked of your faith this year. I listened to him answering many questions, I believe it was Christmas Eve, on Radio 5. And God gave him an answer by his Spirit to everything that was thrown at him. It was an example where God's living and lovely word was spread to maybe 500,000 listeners. You see, I have to walk with Jesus myself. And this was supernatural, because in this text, of course, in chapter 3, the hands which were tied by these three men in the furnace, they were loosened supernaturally. You see, not only was Jesus walking with them, their hands were loosened. And this is very important. You see, following Christ, our hands are not tied up. We don't have to follow and say a mantra. We don't have to stand up five times a day and say a mantra to be Christ's. Being a Christian is freedom. Christ is freeing. Our hands are changed. Our chains are loosened. Our sin is forgiven. It is not repeated dullness. It is a fantastic, wonderful relationship of life with Christ. My faith is powerful. Our faith is powerful. And so can yours be for 2016. And in case you have those times, I certainly do, when we witness rather floundering, or we say the wrong thing, or we say something which is rather flat to a workman who's come to our house, Daniel gives us encouragement for this as well. He gives us encouragement to say, to have a go at witnessing for Christ. You see, it ends up with Nebuchadnezzar praising and exalting and glorifying the King of Heaven, which is where our hymn has come from this morning. Your faith is powerful. You have a great, big, wonderful God. And from Acts, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. What a lovely text to put by your armchair, by your desk, wherever you sit at home, as a text for the new year. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. At a time when Europe is experiencing mass migration of people groups, does God just sit and watch? Is God remote? No, he's active. He's walking amongst all these plans which individuals try and make and nations try and make. But even though Daniel was in exile, he was away from Jerusalem, technically away from the presence, from the temple of God, the living God, the big G. But no, God was with him, you see, as chapter 3 shows us. God is multicultural, multilingual, international. And he can be in your life and in my life for this next year. We're coming to an end. The last three are shorter, but it's a day-by-day faith as well. It's day-by-day. In lovely snippets of conversation with Daniel when he goes and talks to the various kings he has in his long tenure of employment in Babylon, even his expression, I suggest, is observed by the king. He might be frightened, but the king said, "Don't let this dream alarm you. An enemy of God gives word of comfort passed on from the God of comfort." Wow, this is staggering. And I doodled in my Bible when I read this verse one day, God's loving touch. Daniel, you see, had a wonderful personal relationship with his boss, the king, despite everything else. And so should we try. Sometimes it's hard, but we should try. I should try. To be salt and light, even with the folk we don't necessarily bond with at first. But Daniel lived humbly and served his God, just as Micah 6 and verse 8 says. He was able to court friendships. And Proverbs says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies, yes, live at peace with him. What a staggering verse. The words of Colossians, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. But it's easy to put Daniel back in the Old Testament, pre-resurrection. But that's not the case. Just as it is not the case with Jonah and many Old Testament books, that Daniel is packed with resurrection confidence and truth in many of the chapters. You see, the living Christ, a theophany, Christ walks with Daniel's three friends in chapter 3 in the fiery furnace. He is there. And in chapter 6, there's lovely references to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ here. You see, a stone is rolled, a seal is put in place, a guard in some ways is set, and then at first light, the stone was rolled away. A worried king, a worried Mary, worried women rush to a tomb. He is not there. He is risen. How wonderful. And guess what? Daniel was spared. But poignantly and importantly, it is recorded that the false accusers here in the lion's den this time and their families were thrown in afterwards. And they were dead before their feet touched the ground. This isn't making this book a horrible read. God is not doing that. This is it's a theology book, not a history book primarily. And God knows those who love him and have asked for forgiveness. You see, Jesus taught heaven and hell. But he promised paradise to a dying thief, a dying repentant thief, who hung on a cross by the side of him. Real bodily resurrection is taught by the Bible and the book of Daniel. And we should live in the light of the confidence of this in 2016. The king, in emotion and rage, ordered the false accusers to be thrown into the den. You see, this was necessary. It is harsh, but God will have no equals. You see, Baal, their god, was no god at all. It's wonderful resurrection living. And it's resurrection living which, in early December, a Christian lawyer, Nguyen Van Dai, I have no idea if that's how you say his name, I have no idea, but with his three friends, were beaten with sticks by Vietnamese police after they took part in a conference in early December to inform people living in the country's Nguyen province about their human rights, about their right to religious freedom. The police seized their personal possessions, and Mr. Nguyen was pushed into the sea after the authorities had stripped him of his jacket and his shoes. Mr. Nguyen survived this ordeal. God in his grace. But we don't know what 2016 affords. We live very comfortable Cardiff lives. People in other countries we've heard of right through the book of Revelation and through our special service on the suffering church from Jeff and Rita, that some people's year will be much tougher as they seek to follow and serve Christ. But be sure that Christ is with us. He walks with us. He loosens our bound hands that we might point to a living God. Our King is eternal. You see, there is no succession. There's no crumbling of empire with these four kings, which Daniel had to adapt to and serve in succession. We don't need to redraw the map of Jesus' kingdom every 20 or 50 or 10 years. It's here to stay. Because what he says, he will do. Our destiny is not in our hands. It's not in Western economical development. It's not in advanced medicine. It's not in science. It's not in technology. It's in our big, wonderful God. But you see, it's not only about Daniel, because I don't know about you. Whoops, sorry. Sorry. Sorry about that. I pressed the wrong one there. That'll do it. Sorry. We can be ourselves. You see, I'm no Daniel. I've no idea how many languages Daniel spoke. He doesn't say. Daniel was equipped to be prime minister. I'm not. You may not be either. You may love music. You can be an Asaph. You can be a David. You can write songs. You might love people. You can be a visitor, a friend to put your arm around. You might love movies. You can show people how movies reflect, certain movies reflect Christian culture, or if they don't. You might be a baker. You can bake for Jesus this year. You can make new friends, new neighbours with a cake. You see, Daniel was so talented himself. He was multi-talented, multilingual. All those things annoying people are. So, so talented. But, you see, it was just old Daniel, really. Because he was himself. He didn't have to be anyone else. He was just himself. So whoever you are, whatever your aptitudes, your gifts, your likes, your loves, whatever, you can be yourself. Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it spring the issues of life. And very tellingly, the angel Gabriel says of Daniel in chapter 9, you are greatly esteemed. Wow. We can't be all Daniels or Danielas, but we can live by faith. We can stand by faith when others are falling. We can walk by faith because Jesus can walk with us in resurrection life. Please take that for 2015. Praise his name. Amen.